Well, I want to welcome all of you here. Super glad you guys made it for the wedding and for the service this morning. We're very excited about Dustin and Jennifer. I actually met Dustin about a year and a half ago, something like that, about a year and a half ago now. And I was driving by Rocket Slide Park, and I saw him out there. His girls were playing on the playground. He's just sitting out. It was a pretty day. It's a gorgeous sunny day. And I just felt prompted in my heart, like, go talk to this guy. And so I stopped the car. I parked. I walked over there, engaged him in conversation. I think he was kind of like, who is this dude? You know, I was a total stranger to Dustin. And I started talking to him. I talked to him about the Lord. And instantly, as soon as I started talking to him, it's like I just instantly had such an intense love for him. And I was like, how could you not love Dustin? And I was just like, oh, I love this guy. Lord, I want him to know you. I just had such a special love in my heart for him. And so over the months, off and on, you know, we would talk and we would see each other. And then he introduced me to Jennifer. And it was the same thing. You know, I met Jennifer one of the first times we talked. And she was so tender to the Lord and such a joyful personality about her. And I loved her right away as well. And I am so thrilled to see them getting married today. And what I've seen the Lord doing in their life over the last year or so, a journey of just getting to know God, I'm super excited about that. So what I want to do right now is I want to talk to you for a little bit about knowing God. Do you know God? That's the question. Or I could say, do you have eternal life? Because it's the same exact issue. If you know Jesus, you have eternal life. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't have eternal life. This is a big question that I wish people thought about and took more seriously. And, you know, it's easy for all of us to do this. You know, we get just caught up in life, in everyday life. You know, we take the kids to school. We go to work. We relax. We have things that we're doing. We're, you know, hanging out with people in our family, hanging out with friends. And we don't think about the things that matter most in life, which is, do I know God? Do I understand why I was created? I remember one time I'll tell you a little bit why this is important to me. I was a new Christian. This is back, you know, when I was like, 18 years old or something. And I got home and I had a random phone call, like the phone rings. And this anonymous voice on the other end of the phone. He asked for me. My mom answered the phone. She's like, Jeff, it's for you. I come. I'm like, hello? This person says, you don't know me, but I know you. And I'm like, okay. This is a weird. I've never had a call like this before. It's not a prank call. You know, I'm like, you don't know me, but I know you. I know that you're a Christian and that you believe in Jesus. I've been following you. I know who you are. And he goes, and I have a question. I want you to answer this question for me. And I'm like, okay, and I'm inside, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, help me, what in the world is he going to say? And then he tells me this, he says, I had this guy who's my best friend, and we would do drugs together, we go to parties together, we do all, you know, all this kind of stuff together. But he was fed up with life, and he just wanted to end it, because it was so painful for him, and he was just like, I can't find a way to escape the pain. So he came to this conclusion, it was a demonic conclusion, but he came to a conclusion and says, I'm just going to kill myself because then I can just escape all this pain that I'm feeling. That's the way out, which is a lie. You kill yourself. If you don't know Jesus, you just go to hell and the pain multiplies. It doesn't get better. There is no relief. It gets worse. There's only one way to escape the pain and the brokenness of life, and that is through a relationship with Jesus when he heals your heart, which I'm going to explain to you in just a little bit. But this guy, he's like, I'm going to kill myself. So he went to a pastor of a church because he had this nagging thought in the back of his mind. He thought, you know, what if God is real? And what if heaven and hell are real? Just in case, I want to make sure that if I kill myself, I'm not going to go to hell. Because somewhere he had heard the gospel before. He hadn't really believed it or lived it, but it was there in the back of his mind. That was the Holy Spirit trying to rescue him. But he goes to this pastor and he says, I have a question for you, pastor. He says, if I die, will I go to heaven? Now, pastor, I don't think knew this guy. But But the pastor asked him, he says, well, do you believe in Jesus? And he says, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Pastor says, well, you got nothing to worry about then. If you die, you'll go to heaven. And so he went and killed himself. And this guy, this his friend on the phone with me, says, so is my friend in heaven or is he in hell? And I'm going, oh God, you know, what am I supposed to say? And so I told him, I said, well, you know, here's the thing. I was like, I don't know your friend. And, you know, honestly, that's for God to decide whether he's in heaven or whether he's in hell. I don't know him, but the Lord will make a right judgment. But I can tell you this, wherever he is, he's there forever, and there's nothing you or me or anybody else can do about it. The Bible says you have one life to live, and after that, you face the judgment. And you give an account for how you lived and how you responded to Jesus and the grace he made available to you through Jesus. And so you can't help your friend right now, but here's it, because I had this sense, it was the Holy Spirit, that this guy I was talking to was considering committing suicide as well, following his friend in suicide. I said, you can't do nothing about your friend, but there's still time for you. And I told him about Jesus. And anyway, I ended up later in the conversation, I figured out who he was. And actually, I heard later on that he did give his life to the Lord. So I praise God for that. But you know, there's people every day right here in South Dakota, happens right here in Huron, that they die thinking, assuming that they're right with God and that when they die, they're going to go to heaven. And everybody just assumes that our default destination as human beings is to go to heaven when we die. You know, unless I'm really, really, really bad, like a serial killer or a terrorist that's blowing people up, then, you know, I probably wouldn't go to heaven. But most people, we think, probably so. I wasn't perfect, but probably so. Do you know the Bible actually says the opposite? Jesus said, his own words, he said this. He says, narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's not as easy, as broad as everybody thinks. Well, we all end up worshiping the same God anyway. That's not true. Well, God understands, you know, that nobody's perfect, so he kind of winks at it, and that's not true. And then Jesus went on to say, he says, but wide is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many who are on it. And so I just had this urgency in my spirit. Like, I want people to know for sure how to have eternal life. How to have a relationship with God. And I remember growing up, I grew up going to church. My parents would take me to church. I memorized Bible verses, John 3:16 when I was a kid. And if you would have asked, I got baptized when I was 12 years old, even though I didn't know Jesus. I got baptized, and the reason I got baptized is because I got in trouble at school, and my punishment was I had to meet with my youth pastor, and I was like, so, you know, I'm 12, I have to do what my parents say. So I meet with this youth pastor, and he's like, you should probably obey Jesus. I'm like, okay. I mean, you're in trouble, you know, you're just like, okay. And then he's like, well, you should get baptized. I'm like, okay. And my parents are like, yay, you're going to get baptized. That's so cool. But you know what? Nothing had really changed in my heart. Nothing had changed. I was sinning the same stuff that got me into trouble. I was still doing and fully intended on doing with the conviction that I have to be more careful and not get caught the next time. That was the only thing. But my heart was still, I want to sin. I want to live for myself. I want to indulge my carnal nature. I don't want to live for God. I mean, that was not what I was thinking. But I don't want to go to hell. That was my thing. And I grew up in church. That was my life. I did not know the Lord. And so I have this thing. I want people to know for sure. I want you to know for sure where you're at with God. Do you know him or do you not know him? And the reason that's important is because once you identify where you're at, you know what to do to get to where you want to be. And so if you're like, man, you know, I don't think I know the Lord. When I look at these four things that I'm about to give you from the Bible, that will tell you, how do you know if you really know Jesus or not? He's like, man, I'm striking out on these things. Hey, praise God. Now you know where you're at and you know what to do to get to where you want to be. And I'm going to tell you how to get to know the Lord. Does that sound good? All right. So the whole book of 1 John, it's a small little book at the end of the Bible. It's only 5 chapters long. It's written so that we can know that we have whether or not we have eternal life. It's like this series of things that we can evaluate our life, evaluate our heart, and say, okay, do I have this quality in my life that I know God? And 1 John, at the end of the book, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Here's why. So that you may know that you have eternal life. And so I'm going to give you 4 signs of eternal life, or 4 signs that you know God, straight from the book of 1 John. Number one, do you obey God? So how can I tell if I really know God or not? It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just I say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe he really lived, that he was God. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. I believe all that stuff. Here's a crazy thing. Guess what? Do you know that demons believe that? I promise you, Satan is convinced that God is real and Jesus is his son. He knows it. He's absolutely certain of it. Certain of it. But does he submit to God's rule? Does he seek to honor and please God? No, he's in rebellion against him. Even though he knows he's real and he knows that he died on the cross for people, he knows all the right facts, but he refuses to submit to Jesus. And so he does his own thing and he's condemned forever. So do you obey God? 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6 says this. We know that we have come to know him, that's God, if we what? So, one verse, how do we know, according to this verse, if we know Jesus or not? You can talk to me. If we obey his commands, right? And then he says this, I love this. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is what? That's intense. And the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Because whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You know what I love about God? He loves us so much that he always tells us the truth. You'll always get a straight answer from God. He doesn't beat around the bush and just try to flatter you to get you to like him. I mean, he's really confident in who he is. He's absolutely wonderful. He's incredible. And he's always honest. And I love that. I mean, I love that about people. Whenever I'm talking to people, I'm like, you can be honest with me. You don't have to say right answers. Because once they find out I'm a pastor, usually, it's like, oh, don't cuss around him. Seriously, I play like softball in a city league. And they're like, oh, there's a pastor. Don't do that. You know, and all of a sudden they act different. I'm like, dude, just be who you are, man. I'll tell you, I will be who I am around you. I'm always going to be honest with you, and you have the liberty to be who you are around me. It's cool. I love you just as you are right now. I totally love you already. And so you can be real. You can be honest. And I'm going to try and convince you to know Jesus and to serve the Lord, but I don't expect you to fake it around me. I want it to be real. Does that make sense? And I love that when people are honest, and God is that way. He doesn't just flatter us. He doesn't lie to us and try to make us think we're better than we really are. He just lays it out straight. You're actually, no, you don't know me right now, and I don't know you. And here's how you can tell if you know me. Do you obey my commands? The thing is, if you would ask me when I was 12 years old, getting baptized, not living for Jesus at all, if I would have known this, Jeff, you're saying that you're a Christian now. Do you seek to honor Jesus and obey his commands? I've been like, no, not really. Not really. So number two, what are the signs of eternal life? Do you love people? Do you love people? In 1 John, it says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. That's a pretty clear statement right there. I love this guy, John. I'm like, thank you, John, for just saying it. This is not poetic language. He's like, this is how you know if you belong to the devil or God. I'm like, thank you. Just tell me where I'm at so I can get fixed if I need to, or be encouraged if I'm in the right place. And he says this, anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Jesus looked at his disciples and he says, a new command I give you. He says, love one another. He says, all people will know that you belong to me by how you love each other. And so when our lives are eaten up with hatred, bitterness, thoughts of vengeance, prejudice, just not liking certain people, that's a sign of being under the bondage to the evil one. And God wants to liberate us from hatred, and he wants to put supernatural love into our heart. Love that is so supernatural that you'll have the ability even to bless your enemies with a sincere heart. Jesus was nailed to a cross. Can you imagine? This was literal. This was absolutely literal. He had 9-inch nails literally driven through his hands, hanging on a piece of wood up in the air, driven through his ankles. I mean, those little ankle bones. I mean, that's like, ow. Massive pain. He's up there. He's hanging on a cross. And why is he doing it? It's because he loved his father and he loved the people who were nailing him to that cross. And he knows they're separated from God unless I pay the penalty. That was a good catch. I agree. Thank you, Jesus. Unless I pay the penalty for their rebellion and for their sin, there's no way they can ever be restored to a right relationship with God. And so he's hanging up there. He's doing this for them. Can you imagine people in this room? And you're doing this on their behalf. You're literally sacrificing your life for them. And while you're doing it, rather than saying, being humbled, and they say, oh my goodness, that should be me up there. Thank you so much. Instead, they're laughing at him and mocking him. What does he do? While they're mocking him as he suffers for them, and they're doing this to him, he prays this prayer, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's supernatural love. See, the way that we do it, the way that we tend to do it is, you know, people who love me, I'm nice to them, right? But if someone's mean to them, me, watch out. You don't want to mess with me, right? And we do that, and we do this thing, and God's like, no, that's not love. Anybody can do that. Anybody can be nice to somebody who's nice to you. But love that I give, this is how you know that you belong to God, is that you're able to bless even your enemies. Number three, do you believe that Jesus is God's son, anointed son, and that salvation is found only through him? In 1 John 5:1, he says this, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child, Jesus, as well. I remember talking with a guy, a Muslim man, one time. I talked to a bunch of people who have this thought process. About a year or two ago, I'm having dinner at his house. I love this guy, really nice guy. He's a friend of our family. And we were having dinner at the house. It was so good, because they're from another country, and they made us their native food, and the chai was amazing. You should chai it, I'm just saying. Really, really good. It was so good, and they were just so nice. And remember, he was genuine. He was sincere about this. He was being honest. We were having this great conversation about the Lord, and he was like, you know, I think that really Muslims and Christians and Jews, we all really worship the same God. And so in the course of conversation, I asked him, I'm like, so do you believe, then what do you believe about Jesus then? Do you believe that Jesus is God? He's like, no, Jesus is not God. You know, Jesus is a prophet, and he started saying all this stuff. I said, well, there's no way that we worship the same God, because our Bible teaches us that Jesus is God. And we had this honest conversation, and here's the deal. You know that you're born again and you really know God when you understand that there's only one way to have a relationship with God, and it's through Jesus. because he died on the cross to remove our sins. And guess what? Not only is the Savior that died on the cross to forgive our sins, he is the King who's coming back and is going to rule all the nations. His law will be enacted in every city, every village, every island throughout the entire earth, and he's going to restore the planet from the rebellion against God. But not only that, he's going to restore the planet from the curse that comes because of mankind's rebellion. The whole earth is going to be restored to Garden of Eden-like paradise conditions. So this is who Jesus is. He's the Christ. He's the King who's going to rule the nations. He's the only one who forgives us of our sin. And number four. Do you know God? And here's the question. Does the Holy Spirit live in you? 1 John 4:13 says, we know that we live in him and he in us. How do we know it? Because he has given us of his Spirit. Now, I used to read this verse. Honestly, when I was growing up in church, I'd hear like, because sometimes I'd wonder in my honest moments and secretly, I would wonder, how do I know I'm really a Christian? And they'd say things like, well, you know, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I'm like, how do I know that the Holy Spirit, if he's living in me? I mean, he's invisible. Well, you know it by faith. I'm like, okay, so just assume he lives in me? I mean, how do I really know that he's living in me? Where's the evidence? Where's the proof that he's living in me? And it's not just wishful thinking. I need to know. This is important. I'm setting up my story. But first, we go to John. John chapter 3. So Jesus is walking around. He's doing miracles. He has this incredible relationship with God the Father, where he talks to God the Father and God responds. And miracles take place and he has these amazing teachings that have wisdom and life dripping from them. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now the Pharisees were a very devout religious group who believed in the Bible. And this guy was extremely devout in trying to please God. He's like, I just want to please God. But he was a teacher. These guys had memorized huge portions of the whole Old Testament. These guys had devoted their entire life to studying the Bible and obeying it. This guy, he would fast twice a week, 2 days every week. He would tithe. He would give 10% of everything he got. He would give it to the Lord. And he was just trying to please God, and he was super devout. And when the average person in the city would have a question about God, they would go to Nicodemus because he was a teacher. These guys were religious leaders. They were the ones who were supposed to know. And so, but this Nicodemus, even though he's supposed to know, and he's a teacher, and he's studied the Bible, he sees Jesus, and he's like, there's something about Jesus that I don't have. So I pray God doesn't respond to me like that. I mean, the joy and the love that he walks in, I don't walk in that kind of joy and peace and love. It's like, what is it about Jesus and his relationship with the Father that I don't have? And finally, he couldn't take it anymore. And so he went to Jesus under cover of darkness at night because his buddies, the fellow religious guys, none of them liked Jesus. They ended up killing Jesus later. And so he's like sneaks up to Jesus under cover of darkness. And he came to Jesus at night in verse 2 and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, here it is. Jesus always tells you the truth. He says, I tell you the truth, Nicodemus. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And Nicodemus, I love his honesty. He has no idea what in the world Jesus is talking about. He's like, born again. Many of you have heard that term before. But he's like, born again. What? And he says to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? And he's like, I'm an old man. How can I be born again? You can't just go back into the womb and come out again. I do not know what you're talking about. So he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asks. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And then he says this, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, capital S, speaking of the Holy Spirit, gives birth to spirit, lowercase s, the human spirit. So he says, Nicodemus, the first time you were born, it was a physical birth. Your mother's flesh gave birth to your flesh, your physical life. You guys following me so far? Yeah? And he says, but when you're born again, the Holy Spirit gives birth to your spirit, and you come alive to God, and you feel his presence, and you hear his voice, and you have brand new desires, where instead of just wanting to go out and be selfish and do the things you were doing before, more than anything, you just want to please God. He gives you a new heart. And then he says in verse 7, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. And then in the book of Ezekiel, it describes what it means to be born again. Because God, hundreds of years earlier, he said, there's coming a time when I'm going to make an experience available to the whole human race that you can know God. And he says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Say, new heart. Okay. He says, I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit, capital S, there it is again, Holy Spirit, in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So what happens is Jesus says, here's what's going to happen. Here's your problem. Right now, the reason you don't know God, the reason you don't really live for him very well, the reason is because you have a heart of stone. Now, if I were to go up there, you were to go out today and pick up a stone out front, you would notice a few things. If I held it up and I put it in your hands right here, you would notice right away that it's hard. You guys with me? Stone is hard. He's like, your heart is hard toward God. You don't really care about how what you're doing is affecting the Lord. You don't really care that what you do grieves his heart, because what you really want is to please yourself. He says, your heart is hard. That's why you can't know me with a hard heart like that. How many of you know a stone, it's dead. There's no life in it. It's dead. He says, that's your problem, is you're dead to me. Your heart is deadened. It's hard to me. It's calloused. You don't really care about me that much. And then the other thing you'd notice about a stone, especially today, is it's cold, right? If I brought it in from the outside and you held it, it would be cold. You have this stone-cold heart toward God. He's like, your heart, it's not warm and affectionate. It doesn't draw near to me in love. It's cold. It's indifferent to me. It's just like me. When I told you before, I got in trouble. It didn't bother me that what I did was hurting people. It didn't bother me that what I did that got me in trouble was grieving the heart of God. What bothered me was I got caught and I got in trouble. That's what bothered me. Because I was totally selfish. I had a stone-cold heart. That was the problem. God's like, that is the problem, Jeff. If you really want to know God, the first thing we have to do is we have to take that heart out. But I'm not just going to leave you there. I'm going to give you a new heart. And he says, what is the word he used to describe the new heart? It's a heart of what? Flesh. So what is flesh? If you were to feel it, it's soft. Right? Flesh is soft. God gives you a new heart of flesh, and it's like you're soft toward God. You're like, flesh is warm, right? Flesh is alive. And it's like, God, he gives me this heart that now I love you, and I'm affectionate, and I'm warm toward you, and I care more than anything. I care about pleasing you, and I just want to draw near an intimacy to you. I want to be warm towards you. I want to know you. I want to feel your love. I want to feel your presence. I want to be pleasing in your sight. And God's like, yes, you need a heart of flesh so that you can love me, because right now with a stone-cold heart, it's impossible. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. He says, you need a heart transplant. Born again means I take out the heart of stone and I give you a heart that loves me. So I remember when I was 17 years old, I'm still up to my old ways, living for myself. And actually, at this point in my life, when I was 17, things were going pretty good for me. My baseball team had just won the state championship, which was like a big dream fulfilled in my life. I was really excited about my. It was the summer before my senior year, which is just fun times, you know. It was beautiful. It's summer in Alabama, gorgeous weather. I had a brand new girlfriend. We'd been dating about a week. I really, really liked her. I was super pumped about her. So I was like, life is good right now. You know, it feels pretty nice. And I remember I went to a church service on a Wednesday night. The reason I went was not so much because I loved God. That was the only way I could see that girl that night. And so I went to the service to see her. But God's good with that. He's like, that's okay, no problem. I will lure you here. I will get you. And so I came to the service, and I remember the guy, he gets up, he talks just like I'm talking, you know. He shares his story of how he came to know the Lord. I don't remember much about it. I was just kind of sitting there. It was entertaining. They sang their songs like we did this morning. Everybody else is worshiping. I'm just kind of like, you know, whatever. And we get to the end of the service, and the guy was like, if you want to know Jesus, why don't you come up here, and I'll pray with you, and we'll pray with you, and so you can know God and get born again. And I was like, I don't need to do that. I already did that, because I still didn't understand. I still thought, yeah, I know Jesus because I got baptized, and I said that prayer that one time a long time ago, and I memorized those Bible verses. And so I'm sitting there in my chair waiting for the service to end, but something strange happened to me. Holy Spirit started moving and just supernaturally touching people who did respond. And they're up there, and they're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're just, and so it's taking a long time for the service to go over. I'm sitting like over here in my seat, and I'm just waiting for them to dismiss so I can get out. And as I'm sitting there quietly waiting for them to dismiss the service, my mind starts wandering. And I had this thought. I thought, you know what? I don't even like the way I'm living right now. And I just told you, I was having a good day. I remember I showed up in a really good mood to that service. It's a gorgeous summer day. I had on a new outfit that I felt really good in. I was like, I'm handsome. I got a new girlfriend. I'm going to be a senior next year. Life is good, you know? I'm like, things are going cool. But all of a sudden, I thought, I started seeing my life from God's perspective. And I started seeing the hypocrisy. And I started seeing how fake I was. And one of the things, you know, it's a big thing, high school, at least back then, I think it's probably this way now. It's like, you know, you want to be an original. I want to be different. I don't want to just be like everybody else, man. But then we all copied each other. And I remember I just have these pictures as I'm sitting there in my chair, scenes from spring break just a month or two before, when I'm out with my friends and my friend is driving and I know he's drunk because I've been with him all night long. And I'm sitting in the back seat of the car and my mom doesn't know where I'm at because I lied. And I was sitting in the back seat and I'm scared. I'm like, I know he's drunk. I hope he doesn't crash. But I was too afraid to actually say, dude, don't drive. And because, you know, I want to be liked. And to be honest with you, this is just me, I have always hated the taste of beer. I mean, it's instant vomit reaction. I have to hold back the gag reflex. It's just, I've always been that way. And I remember, though, even though I hate the taste of beer, I would go to these parties. And, you know, you don't say I hate beer because you're not cool if you say that, right? Because everybody's supposed to love beer. And I'd get to these parties and they'd be like, hey, man, we got some beer. You want one? And instead of being real and just saying, no thanks, I hate the taste of beer, I'm going to have a Coke, you know? Instead, I'd be like, awesome, yeah, give me one. And I'd sit there and act like I like it, holding back my gag reflex. And I'm thinking through these things really fast as I sit in my chair waiting for that service to end. And I'm thinking, you're such a fake. You're such a fake. And I was popular. I was well-liked. People would put me on this pedestal like, oh, yeah, Jeff is cool. But I'm like, I was seeing myself for what I really was. I was a fake. And then the next thought that came into my mind was, if I were going to be a Christian, I'd be radical about it. Now, I'm going to tell you what. That thought was planted by Holy Spirit, Jehovah Sneaky. He snuck that little thought in there. That's not really his name. I'm kidding. But I was like, if I were going to be a Christian, I would go all the way. I would actually obey God. I would go to church, even if my parents didn't make me. I mean, in my mind, this was radical at the time. I was like, even if they didn't make me, because I would fight my mom on going to church. Once I got old enough and she couldn't physically make me go, I'd be like, you can't make me go. And she couldn't. But then I was like, I would actually go to church. I would live a holy life. I would stop going to parties. And I would even tell other people about Jesus. Now, I wasn't planning on doing this. I was just thinking, if I ever did, that's the way I'd go about it. I'd be sincere. I'd go all the way. I wouldn't be fake about it. I wouldn't be a hypocrite. But as I contemplated how I would live if I ever decided to be a Christian, guess what happened? This intense desire rose up from deep within me. And I thought, oh, that's what I want. And I knew that was my destiny. This is what I was born for. And all of a sudden, I had this desire. I'm like, I want to live for God. I want to be radical. And then I remember the Holy Spirit just making it clear. He's like, because I had thought maybe later after college, I want to have fun in college, do my thing. I don't want to do it yet. I was like, but then after college, I'll probably want to get married, settle down, do a little bit of the religious thing. And I remember the Spirit just making it clear to me. He's like, no, not later, now. And here's the deal. You don't get to dictate when the Spirit draws your heart into a relationship with Jesus. There are windows of opportunity that come at God's discretion. When your heart is tenderized from its hardened state, and all of a sudden you see your need for him, and you're like, and at those moments when you can only come to him when he's drawing you. You have to jump through that window before it shuts. Because there's no promise you'll ever be drawn again. He doesn't owe that to you. And the Lord spoke to me. He's like, now. So I got up out of my seat. I came down here. I'd done this before. I knew how to pray these prayers. Jesus, forgive my sins. I believe you died on the cross to forgive my sins. I believe you rose from the dead to give me eternal life. So I receive it from this point forward. I'm going to live for you. And then I went and sat in my chair. And I'm just sitting there. And I meant it. I was totally sincere. And then this dude comes up to me and he's like, hey. And I didn't know who he was, but he was like, hey, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I had no idea what he was talking about. But I knew Holy Spirit was in the Bible. I'd read that before. And so I was like, sure. He's like, come on, man. So I followed him. I came up front. Totally new experience. I'm up there and all of a sudden all these people get around me. Now I'm expecting before when I'd done this type of thing, they're like, would you just fill out this card? But that's not what they did. I get up there and instead, there's like four, five, six, I don't know, people. They all stand around me in a circle. The preacher's right in front of me and they all put their hands on me. And I'm like, okay, I have no idea what they're doing. They're going to pray for me to receive the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, okay. And they start praying and I'm just sitting there. What am I supposed to do? I guess I'll sit here. Okay, I'll just be quiet while they pray. And they're all praying. And then after like a few minutes, it suddenly dawned on me what they were talking about. I was like, oh no, they want me to speak in other tongues. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. Not because I had some theological objection to it necessarily. I just didn't know how. I was like, I don't know how to do it. I'm not going to fake it. I'm like, oh no, but I'm stuck because I'm surrounded on all sides. And I think they're serious. I'm not getting out of here until I do this. And I don't know how to do it. And I'm calm on the outside, but inside I'm freaking out. And this is all the stuff going through my mind. And these people love me so much. They just kept praying, patiently praying. And after a few minutes, I started calming down on the inside a little bit. I was like, okay, just Holy Spirit, yeah, fill me, whatever that is. And I waited, and it took a little while. But then, for the first time in my entire life, guess what happened? Like this fountain. This fountain started breaking forth within me, and I could feel the presence of the Lord just a little bit. But just a little bit of his power and his presence melted my heart like putty in his hands instantly. I fell in love with him in a moment. got that new heart. And I was like, oh, God, you're so real. You're so real. I just kept thinking that over and over again. You're so real. I love you. You love me. Of course, I knew it here. I don't, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And I'd heard those verses, but it's one thing when you know it here, and it's a totally different thing when you experience it here. And I started feeling his presence, and I was like, oh, God. And I started loving him. And as I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, really quietly, because I didn't know if it was me or if it was him, I just really quietly, I started speaking out these syllables that would just come. And I'd really quietly, I'd speak out these syllables, whatever it was, Kuriaya, whatever. And as I did it, I'm like, is that me or is that God? I don't know. And then the preacher hears me right in front of me. He's like, that's the Holy Spirit, man. That's it. Keep coming. I was like, oh, good. Because I didn't know. I didn't want to. And I was like, okay. And then I started speaking more. And the more I would release those syllables and speak them out and vocalize them, the stronger I felt his presence. It just got stronger and stronger until I was just worshiping him. And I remember I was singing this song. It goes like this. I want to be closer, Lord, to you. I want to be closer, Lord, to you. When you speak to me, I want to know your voice. I want to be closer, Lord, to you. Just to be closer, Lord, to you. Closer than I've ever been before. And I knew that song, it wasn't just song. It wasn't just words. It was like the perfect words to express the desire of my heart in the moment. I just want to be closer. I just want to please you. I was changed. I left that service and I was like, oh God. I was like, I'm so excited. And I'm going to tell you something. I knew that the Holy Spirit was living inside of me. There's nobody that could have convinced me otherwise. You know, before it always be like, how do you really know if the Spirit's living in you or not? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, when he comes, you know. When the God who created the earth and the stars comes into you, I promise you, you're going to notice. There's something that happens to us little people when a big God comes and lives inside of us in all of his love, in all of his holiness, in his beauty, and his joy, and his life bursts forth in our tiny little frame. You will know it. I was alive to God. I was so excited, and I had two brand new desires that didn't exist in my life. Before that night, I was like, God, I want to feel you like this always for the rest of my life, every second, whatever I have to do. And second, I just want to please you. Like, I really want to make you happy. And it wasn't because I was afraid of going to hell, although that is a good motivation. But I wanted to obey him because I knew he was my father and he was my proud papa, and I wanted to make him proud. I loved him. I wanted to please him because I loved him and I knew that he loved me. I went home that night and I was like, Mom, guess what happened to me? She's like, what? I'm like, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. She's like, oh, cool. I was so pumped, you know? I went to bed that night and I literally had this thought. I was so pumped about living for Jesus. I was like, new life, do over. And I was like, tomorrow, I can't wait to wake up. Because it'd be my first full day of officially living for God, like for an entire day. I just knew everything started over. I instinctively knew it. I figured it out in the Bible later. But I knew it already by the Holy Spirit. I was like, everything's starting over now. And I'm a new guy and I'm living differently now. And I was happy about it. I started living for the Lord. So here's my question. Actually, let me give you this. Four qualities the Holy Spirit imparts to us when we are born again. I'll just finish with this. I'll give them to you really fast. Are these on your notes? Okay. First, he gives you the confidence that God loves you and has accepted you. So I knew it instantly. When the Holy Spirit came in, I'm like, I knew that he loved me. Some guy with a Bible degree could have come up to me or whatever and said, God doesn't really love you. I'd be like, whatever, man. I just know that he does because he's in me and he's telling me different. And I think he's smart and he knows what he's talking about. Number two, the desire to feel God and be close to him. when the Holy Spirit comes in and you're born again, you will have this intense desire to be close to him, to feel and experience his presence. Third, he'll give you the desire to please God. You want to please the Lord. Doesn't mean that you won't be tempted to sin still at different times. But the desire to please the Lord is stronger even than our desire to indulge sinful desires. Number four, he gives you the passion to worship Jesus and tell others how wonderful he is. Nobody had to teach me how to worship God when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was like nobody teaches a baby to breathe when they come out of the womb. Right? They spank them on the butt, maybe. But they just know. They've never, ever taken a breath for the whole 9 months they've been in there. But they come out of the womb, and it's instinctive. They're just, they take in that breath. When you're born again, worship, it's the same way. You love the Lord. It's natural to worship the Lord. It's what you were created for. And when you get the new heart, you're able to do what he created you to do. And part of our worship is that we have this zeal. I want other people to know how awesome he is. I want, because all of a sudden you love people. And I want you to experience this awesome God that I just met for the first time. And then you just want to tell them, guess what happened to me? And I'd go around to my friends, guess what happened to me this summer? I met God. I'd tell them the whole story, you know, and they'd be like, okay. And they had different reactions. Some of them were like, cool. Some of them were like, whatever, you know. And but I was so excited. I loved him. I wanted everybody to know him like this. Now, these are the natural new desires that come from getting a new heart. Let me ask you a question. Do you know God? Do you know him? Now, let me tell you some good news. Every one of you can know him. He loves you. He wants you to know him. The reason he died on the cross was to remove the barrier of sin that separated you from God, so now you could be restored to God and have a right relationship with him. How do I know God like that? Here's how you do it, okay? You have to believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive your sins. There's nothing you can do to undo the bad things you've done. But the good news is, he already did something to cover them over and to wash your guilt away. He died on the cross to forgive you, okay? And the second thing you have to do this to experience eternal life is not just believe this, because the devil believes that. You know what? You have to be willing to leave your rebellion and start living for Jesus. I illustrate it like this, and I'll end with this, and then I'm going to pray. And then we're going to do a wedding. Jesus is over here in the kingdom of God. And way over here in the rebel camp is the devil and his angels and every other human being, including you, if you don't know Jesus, including me at one point. And we're in the rebel camp. What do rebels get? Those who stir up revolution in a kingdom, what does a good king do? You crush the rebellion. Because if you don't crush the rebellion, there's war, there's division, there's anarchy. It's a horrible place to live for everybody who's there. And I got truth for you is this. Jesus himself will crush the rebellion. It's not going to continue forever. He is coming back. When he comes back a second time, he's bringing an army. And he is going to physically crush the round up all the rebels. And they're going to all, including the devil, all of them, they're going to be thrown into hell, lake of fire, forever. Their prison. Because they've chosen a rebellious nature. They've rejected God's mercy. So he says, okay, I'm going to make earth a paradise now. To do that, I got to get rid of all the evil people. But he loves you. He even loves those who are in rebellion against him and hurting the others that he loves. And this is the good news goes out. You hear the report over here in the rebel camp. I heard that the king has a merciful heart. And his preference would be to change you and to forgive you and to transform you rather than punish you. So if you believe that is true, if you'll leave the rebel camp, cross the line, and come back to the king, not only will he forgive you of your treason, but he's going to adopt you and make you a son or a daughter in the royal family. That's a crazy deal. It's not just, I mean, I would be cool with, don't send me to hell. Just give me a little tiny piece of land on the edge of your kingdom. I'm fine with that. I won't cause any trouble. This is way more than I deserve. He's like, absolutely not. He says, you are in the royal family. You're going to be, I only have sons and daughters who are going to be in my kingdom. He wants to adopt you into his family. And then he fills you with the Holy Spirit. So here's the deal. If you find yourself in the rebel camp, what do you need to do when you've just heard the good report? Jesus is willing to forgive you. What do you need to do right now? Right? Repent, come back to Jesus and say, repent means to leave the rebellion. Say, God, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I'm going to live from you now. Help me to do it. Give me that new heart of flesh. Take away my stone cold heart. Put your spirit in me. Make me new. I want to know you. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, I want you to just pray this with me if you want to know the Lord. Just say, out, you can just pray it out loud. Just say, Jesus, I want to know you. I acknowledge that I've been selfish, that I've lived mostly for myself instead of seeking to please you. I haven't done things your way. Forgive me. Change me. Give me a new heart of flesh. Take away my stone cold heart. Help me to know your love. And help me to love you back the way you deserve. I set my heart to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Now here's what I want you to do. I want to teach you how to live for God. If you're changing course and you want to live for the Lord, it's a new way of life. So you want to start at this point. And what Jesus said, he says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. In other words, teach them how to obey my commands. Teach them how to live for me. And so I had people in my life when I first gave my life to the Lord who taught me the Bible and taught me how to live for God. And I would like to help you do that. So if you want to follow the Lord and you're interested in that, what I want you to do is before you leave today, come and talk to me. And what I'm going to do and say, I want to live for God. Help me do it. And I'm going to say, awesome. And I'm going to take your name down. And I'm going to, and I'll get your contact information or whatever. And then me or somebody else in the church will contact you within the next week or so. And we'll set up a time to get together with you and start helping you and teaching you what we've learned so far about living for God.